Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Orlando House of Prayer. For more information, visit us online at www.orlandohop.org.
I don't know if Josue, you got some of those things that I get. You out there? Okay, good. Today I'm gonna almost deviate from some of my messages that I'm normally known for. It's good to see Amanda. I haven't seen her in a while. But I'm gonna really say something today that sounds simple, but I'm really gonna try to pastor you today, and because I've been going through something in the last week that I'm gonna share and be transparent about that really has brought forth this reality in my life, and so I want to help you today. And the worst thing that you could do when you first hear the first couple of things about this message is say, oh my God, that's so easy. The problem with the church is we think we've figured it out already. The problem with the church is that we think that once we hear a reality that we sing a lot about, how many know you can sing a lot about something and still not do it? You could sing a lot about the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about him today. But you could write books and read books about the Holy Spirit and still don't know the Holy Spirit. You could read books on prayer, and I've seen it. People read books on prayer and inundate themselves on prayer and still don't have a life of prayer. So what I'm going to talk to you about is going to be very simple in the beginning, but it's so needed. And can I be honest with you? I found a new truth lately in my 20-something years of walking with the Lord. Lately, I have found freedom because of this reality. Freedom in my mind. Freedom in my spirit and my soul. So, with that in mind, Proverbs chapter 3, let's start at verse 1, New King James Version, if you can, and NKJV. Glory to God. It says this, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That's a really another message right there. That's a powerful verse. That means mercy and truth, if it's active in your life, will produce favor with God and man. Now, look at this famous scripture that we all know by memory. All know by memory that I want to harp on with the other scriptures today. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I'm going to say that one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. See, some of you, you're already quoting it because you know it by memory. But I want to share something with you. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I want to talk about a reality today that many in Christendom or many in Christianity talk a lot about. We sing a lot about, we've limited it to only salvation, and we read a lot of books about what I'm about to talk about, and yet we don't walk in the fullness of this reality. What is it, do you say? Here it is, total surrender. You say, well, that's just so easy, give me something deep. This is deep. It total surrender. We have limited surrender to salvation. We have limited surrender to I surrender all. And we limit it to a nice hymn that we sing, or when a preacher or somebody says, lift up your hands. And we've limited the surrendered life to a bunch of songs or a bunch of certain things that we have put in our life, when we really don't really understand that we cannot even trust God without surrendering to God. Trust actually comes out of the surrender life. When it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, how do you trust God? You have to trust God with a surrendered life. And I'm going to tell you what I feel that surrendered life really means. A surrendered life, you can't even walk with God and be at peace without surrender. I believe that one of the recipes for true or the beginnings of peace in your mind is the reality of a surrendered life. I'm going to tell you, I said it right. Peace in your mind, because it will deliver us. And if you're taking notes, you can write this thing down. What I found is when we learn this key secret of surrender, remember, please don't think of surrender as I'm surrendering all to Jesus, I come unto an altar, and I gave my life. See, surrender is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. And I find that if you truly understood what true biblical surrender was, you will not fret like you do about your finances, about your child, about your health, about your ministry. Because you could be doing a lot of the right things and still be frustrated, but maybe there's a missing ingredient of why you're not at peace. The Bible says, set your mind on things of the Lord and the peace of God will come. And so you start thinking of the reason why we lack peace. But if you get this secret, I don't know if you're writing notes, but if you learn this secret, it will relieve us from a lot of things. But I wrote three things down that really will relieve the body of Christ. It will relieve you from fear, from worrying, and watch, this is a good one, striving. When you truly understand what biblical surrender means, not just because you heard Tito sing it or a good hymn in the 70s, when you truly walk out in your life, literally in your day-to-day life, daily surrender, it will relieve you from fear, from worry, and from striving. What do you mean, Pastor George? What do you mean? Fear, it will deliver you from fear of the unknown. Fear of your current circumstances. When you surrender, the current circumstances will still be there, but it will deliver you from the fear of your current circumstances. Then it will deliver you from worrying about your future, your past, your emotions, your health. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you something in a couple minutes, but I'm going to wait till I get there. That I have to learn that if I don't surrender to God in this season of my life, I'll literally go crazy. I'm going to say that again. If I don't choose, it's a choice, to surrender my mind, my emotions about what has happened to me or what has happened to my family or what is happening to some of you had bad reports with doctors or whatever. If you don't know how to surrender, you will go insane in your mind. And it will deliver you from striving to try to make things happen, listen, out of desperation or guilt. Sometimes we try to make things happen. Do you know that the Bible says you can't even surrender without God putting that desire in you? The Bible says in Philippians 2, he said, it is God who gives you the will to both to do and to will for his own good pleasure. So that means he actually gives you the desire to surrender. I remember years ago that I was in a conference in front of like 600-700 people. And I said, does not God give you your desires? Everybody goes, yes. I said, no, he doesn't. Everyone's like, oh, that's. You hear these buzz, and I said it again, does God give you the desires of your heart? Yes, he does. I go, no, he doesn't. So I could tell they're about to throw tomatoes at me. I go, the Bible doesn't say he'll give you the desires of your heart. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So when you delight yourself in the Lord, the desires that he gives you is because you first delighting in him, and all the desires of your heart match his desires. He knows that you're not just going to ask for a Mercedes Benz just because the Bible says he'll give you a desires of your heart. Because if you truly delight yourself in the Lord and surrender, there will be certain shifts in your heart, even about your desires, even of your prayers. You'll find yourself praying things that you never used to pray for. Why am I praying for more humility in my life? I'm okay. No, you're not okay. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit's highlighting that to you. The greatest sign of revival is when God says, look at you. Don't look at other people, look at you. And the greatest sign of revival was God puts the mirror in front of you and said, you need to change. You're looking at everybody else to change, and you're crying for repentance. But I have found this, that the reality of surrender has never been so important and so real than it is in my life right now. I'll tell you why. I want you to put up the definition of surrender up there. I wrote it on the screen. Then I'm going to tell you a story. The definition of surrender, I looked this up, is to yield or to give oneself up to some person or influence, to abandon or relinquish, usually to someone that is greater in strength. Now look at the last little sentence here. It is the releasing of ourselves entirely to God. It is the releasing ourselves entirely to God. Back in the Old Testament, someone would, that when Joshua saw the angel, he gave one sandal. I did a Hebraic study on that. And when you just only give one sandal to somebody, It is acknowledging you are greater, you are more powerful than me, and I willingly give you that sandal, and you take control of my life. And I want to say this is real powerful before I say share a little testimony here. Is the reason it's you have to understand surrender is because you have to surrender when you're going through something in your finances, when you're doing all the right things and you're still coming up short in your monthly bills. When you're doing all the right things, you're preaching the right message. And on top of that, when bad things happen to you and you're doing good things, I have news for you. Bad things don't happen to just bad people. Talk to Joseph. Talk to Job. Talk to Abraham. What did Job do wrong or evil for him to get these things? But if you don't understand the reason this is happening, if you don't understand the principle of surrender, you will be debating everything. And I want to share something with you. Because true surrender means you don't have to understand everything that's going on in your life to be obedient to God. Oh, I'm going to say that again. We have limited our ability to surrender by asking why and how. And when we wait until we get the why and we get the how and we get the what is happening to us until we be fully surrendered to God. But you're missing it. The key ingredient to or reality to surrender is to understand this is that you don't have to understand everything that's happening in your life right now to be fully obedient to God. That is surrender. And I heard the Lord, I'm going to get ahead of myself because I want to share my testimony here. But while I was going through this, something that happened this week, I was fighting God. Why did this happen? Do you understand when you're preaching the gospel, I'm going to be transparent. When you're preaching, you're laying hands on the sick, and you're getting invitations all over, and you're getting people saved, and you're getting delivered, you think everything is good. Why? Nothing's going to happen to me. And all of a sudden, boom, something happens and shakes you. If you don't have a foundation of surrender, you will not trust God. And you know what's going to happen? You will start blaming God and say, watch this. Why did this happen? Why did you allow this? And the understanding or the desire to understand why this is happening, even while you're preaching, even while everything is doing good, even while you have no closed doors, they try to tell Job, well, you know, the reason why, these religious people tried to figure out why he was going through stuff, and his best friends were saying, well, I've concluded that you have some open doors of sin in your life, brother. And that is, look it up in Job. That is why all these boils are happening to you. We always point at some demonic open door. We understand that that's a reality. But instead of asking why it is happening, ask, what are you trying to tell me? The Holy Spirit says, stop asking why. You'll never surrender if you get a why. I'm going to tell you right now, you will never enter the surrender life if you're seeking the why and the how things are happening to you. You will never enter surrender. You only love God, but you're not fully surrendering because the definition is giving up, relinquishing. And so the control of someone that is greater. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and I'm going to read it so I won't mess up. He said, when I was going through this, and I was saying, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? Why did you allow this? What is going on? I heard this phrase, and I wrote it down. He said, a yes without knowing the why or the how is one of the purest signs of surrender. Oh. A yes. Yes. A yes without knowing the how or the why is the purest sign of surrender. We want to surrender when everything that makes sense not lines up to our knowledge. Oh, of course I'll surrender. I could make my bills this month. Oh, it's easy to surrender. Oh, I'm going to surrender. I am in perfect health. It's easy to surrender. Yeah, try saying that when all of a sudden, boom, you have a health problem out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, you have this financial problem out of nowhere. If you get stuck in trying to answer why this happened, believe me, I've struggled with this for many years. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And not realizing that the key to surrender is eliminating the how and the why. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. that, can I be honest, our knowledge sometimes is actually the thorn that stops us from surrendering. Our Bible knowledge, yes, I said it right. Our Bible knowledge. Because we know so much of the Bible that we know how to do things in our own strength. And we've stopped surrendering by the power of grace. For about a good year and a half or 2 years, I've had a real bad habit of going to sleep about 3:30 in the morning, every morning. And everybody said, slow down, slow down. I was like, no, I got this. Everything's good. I'm all right. Everything's good. Hey, I'm preaching. I'm doing it for the Lord. So you could do things for the Lord and still be doing the wrong things. Amen. Amen. I said, you could be doing things for the Lord, my friend, and still be winning people to the Lord, and God is still trying to tell you something. Again, the key to surrender is not asking why, is what are you trying to teach me through this process? What are you trying to teach me through this health problem? What are you trying to teach me through my wayward children? What are you trying to teach me through my financial problem? Wait a minute. I know some of my good friends here that they're obedient, they have no closed doors, and they have struggles financially. Instead of saying, why this is happening, say, what are you trying to tell me, Holy Spirit? What are you trying to teach me? Lean on me. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Come out. Stop being so bulldogged in your confidence of your own self and your own giftings, and start being weak for a little bit. He chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He never said, I'll choose the strong things of the world. Whoo. So I would go to sleep 2-3 in the morning all the time. And in 2007, I had a real big scare, because in 2007, I had convulsions while I was sleeping, you know? And it was like seizure-like symptoms. And you know, I remember in 2007 waking up. I didn't remember anything. I just woke up in the gurney, in the ambulance. And so I said, "What?" Now you have to understand, someone like me, who's been preaching a lot, raised up a lot of sons and daughters here in this ministry, I'm thinking to myself, "Why do you allow this to happen?" Do you understand? See, the surrender part is always going to come against the why. Always. Every time. And so I try to find the answers. And so they did a CAT scan. Everything's good. They did a neurology thing. Everything's perfect. They're like, you don't have any signs of this. We don't know. Your brain is perfect. Everything's great. All right. So, okay. Fast forward. And all of a sudden, in 2011, last year, you know, I had a mild incident where while I was sleeping, okay, and so these things happened. I remember that I my wife said that I had trouble breathing. I was gasping for air. This is a year ago, and that I had like some shaking symptoms. And so I don't remember anything of that at all. So everything's good. But you know what? God was trying to tell me something. So you have to understand, the art of surrender is trying to see what God is trying to tell you about that situation. When you surrender, He'll tell you what it's about. You're trying to strive. Remember what I said earlier. Surrendering will eliminate you from striving and worrying and fear. I'm telling you. I'm saying this prophetically. I'm telling you prophetically. You will not... Surrendering will deliver you from striving to make it happen, fear, and worry. And so last week, everything was good. I mean, everything was cool. I mean, but, you know, I cut down on coffee, even though I drank coffee every day. So everything was good. You know, and all of a sudden last week, it was Thursday, last week, I don't remember anything. I had another episode while I was sleeping. Again, I went to sleep that night at 3:30 in the morning. 3:30 in the morning. How can I expect? See, my body was trying to tell me something. So I went to bed at 3:30 in the morning, and I don't know what happened next. All I remember is waking up in an ambulance outside of my house and a paramedic looking in my eyes saying, "What year is it? What year is it?" I'm like, 2012. I'm like, "What?" It looked like I was just coming out of a dream. And I was strapped up, and I immediately said, "Oh, man, Okay, so you have to understand. Now this starts playing with your head, right? Now it starts thinking, what's wrong with me? Seriously, you start thinking, is there something wrong with me? I'm going to die. Not, I mean, for real. Like, there must be something wrong with me. My wife said that I got up in a confused state and I tried to leave the house. I don't even remember that. That's how bad it was. Like, I said, I tried to leave the house. She goes, yeah, you were walking and trying to leave the house. And so when I heard all that, I said, okay, God, what is happening? And I was shaken by this experience. Now it happened three times. And so I'm telling you this story, and I'm being transparent for a reason. Because I'm a leader, and I have no open doors that I know of, because I know all these people try to say, well, maybe it's all this other stuff. Friends of Job. When the reality was, is that I wasn't honoring my temple, and they did a CAT scan, everything was good, and I was not getting enough sleep, and because I wasn't getting enough sleep, my body was saying, you are going to surrender one way or the other. Whether it's through your choice, or whether it's because I love you so much that you're not honoring this, and I'm going to shake you. And while I was in the hospital bed, you know, I thank God for all you guys' texts, and you guys were texting me and loving on me and all that stuff. That's great. And so while I'm on there, this is the lesson that I'm trying to teach you here today. That for a couple of days, I was perplexed. I'm like, well, what is going on with me? You know, you don't really know a trial unless you walk through one. Everybody says, have faith, brother. Go ahead and walk in my shoes and see how much faith you have. But here's the thing. I'm starting to realize this, that as I went through this, I had to learn a secret. Watch this. You're going to miss everything I say. I had to learn the secret for the sanity of my mind and my heart. The secret of surrender, that all is well. Do you remember when the widow in Elijah, in Elijah's day, first of all, she didn't have a son, and so Elijah prayed for the barren lady. She gave birth to a son. Several years later, the prophet was staying at her house, and one day, he was out in the field, and he said, Dad, my head. And he fell down dead. Now watch this. He fell down dead. Now, look at the power of surrender. The power of surrender bypasses what you see in the natural. And so he's looking, and he's dead. He's dead. He wasn't sleeping. He was literally dead. Now, here's the part that people don't notice, but this is what I see through the lens of surrender, this one little area. He died, and all of a sudden, when this boy died in 2 Kings, she went out, and she started sending the messenger to Elijah. And Elijah saw the widow, said, hey, Gehazi, that's the widow with the son. Why is she out here? Ask her if everything's okay. Oh, God. The typical person, oh, my God, what's happening? Why is God allowing this to me? Hey, is everything okay, widow? All is well. Prove it. I'll prove it to you. It's in 2 Kings. I don't have time to share it right now. But in 2 Kings, he goes, all is well. What do you mean all is well? Your son just died. Tell her, is all is well? Why is she up here? All is well. She told her husband, why is she out? All is well. Finally, when she got near to Elijah, she came down and she started crying. And Gehazi was trying to like stop. And Elijah goes, wait, this is anguish of soul. There's a reason why something's wrong with her son. Let me tell you, the story was her son eventually got healed. But it wasn't the story of him getting healed that moved me. It was the story of her response when something bad happened in her life. When something, I'm talking, it wasn't a cold, it wasn't a headache. Her son died and she said, all is well. Boy, if it was me, I would have been like, help! Why? Lord! And you know what? Oh, I'm going to say this right now. When you don't know, when you try to figure out the why, and when you try to figure out the what is happening, you will have a tendency to have an offended heart and backslide. Can I be just straight blunt with you? I was mad at God. What's wrong with you, God? What's wrong? Hey! I'm preaching the gospel. But I realized quickly that I could use this to try to find why. And because I don't find the why, the response is I'm going to get angry at God. Well, you're not hearing me preach this morning. See, this message goes through everybody, because some people, you are faithfully tithing and you still can't make your bills every day, and you're asking why. You are faithfully giving. You're faithfully doing diets, and you still come up with little problems in your health. And you're faithfully filling out resumes, and nothing happens, and you're asking why. And if you're not careful, your lack of the answer of the why will produce backslidden heart. When surrender says, even if you don't get the answer, will you still obey me? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do you know who understood this principle? Mary. Oh, yeah. I'm going ahead of myself. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1. You know who learned this principle of being obedient when everything in the natural didn't make sense? See, we sing songs, I surrender all, but we don't really mean it. No, we don't. Because we only surrender all when it makes sense and we have the why and the how. But when we don't have the why and the how, I surrender all. Oh, no, something must be wrong. Why did God allow this? Why am I still divorced? Why am I still single? I've been praying. Why haven't I met my husband? Why haven't I met my wife? Look at this. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Look at this. This is powerful. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, I love this. The angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored of the Lord. Now remember, this is a first time experience with the archangel Gabriel. We Westerners, we read it and we're like, oh man, this is so normal. There is nothing normal about an immaculate conception. Nothing at all. I mean, you have to understand the enormity of absurdity of what's happening in this moment. We say that, we read it all the time. You have to understand, at that moment, it was the most absurd, craziest, ludicrous thing that could ever be told somebody. And she probably thought she had too much pizza the night before or too much ice cream. She's like, huh? What? So having come in, look at the next verse. Angel's coming in. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Like, that's what I'm like, what? What do you mean I'm highly favored of all women? I mean, I know I'm pretty all that, but I mean, what are you trying to tell me? And consider what this matter, look, she's like, consider what manner of greeting this was. Look at this. Now watch. Look at that. You don't have to, look at me. Is it clear that she did not understand why things were happening? I want you to see her response. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Keep going. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. We limit this to Christmas time only. And he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Going. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Could you imagine an angel giving you this introduction for the first time ever? You're hearing this ever? We've heard this a million times. So we're like, oh, that's Jesus. Oh, thank God he came to the earth. You have to understand, when this first came to her reality, the Son of God? Wait, you're going to come into me? Now watch this. I'm going to say something here. How can this be, since I don't know a man? In other words, I haven't been intimate with a man. This can't be. This doesn't make sense. How can I surrender to that? How can I surrender to your words when it doesn't make sense to me? It's impossible for me to have a baby. That doesn't make sense. Look at this. So she's walking in this, and she's looking at it. She's saying, this does not make sense. Why is this happening to me? Why am I getting a visitation of the angel? And the one thing I notice is that she did not do like many Christians. When things happened to her and she did not understand, she didn't wait for five confirmations the next day or the next week or the next month to see if that was really an angel. Wait a minute. I'll get back to you on that, sir, being whatever you are, because I don't know what this means to me. I can't fully surrender until I have the how or the why. I need some confirmation. And she didn't say, I got to get five confirmations before I say a yes to what I'm listening to. That doesn't make sense. Oh, you don't believe me? Look at it. Watch this. Look at the verse 36. Keep going. Real quick. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived and her son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Look at this. Watch this. Look at the next verse. For God, nothing is impossible. Here's the next verse. Are you ready? Here's surrender 101. Then Mary said, immediately, didn't take 5 months, five confirmations, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, do unto you according to your word. Woo! Behold, wait, you don't understand that. It wasn't 5 weeks later. It wasn't five confirmations later. She's perplexed. She's receiving something she doesn't understand, and she is told to surrender to this. She's told, you have to know that you don't have to know the why or the how in order for you to be obedient. Here's what's going to happen to you. There's going to be a pregnancy. You never known a man. And on top of that, you can be pregnant by God. Oh, what is, and all these swirling, no, it can't be. Oh, my God. And then she's not even asking for confirmation. And she just looked back and said, this is how I know she already had a surrender life at that point. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Do unto me according to your word. 2012, do whatever you want to do with me. If I got to go through trial, Lord, I'm going to do it because I'm surrendered. If I got to give birth and it's painful, I got to do it. If I have to have a convulsion while I'm sleeping for you to tell me something, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. If I got to watch my kids get rebellious and as a sign that they're eventually going to be taken to their barrenness and then come back to the Lord, if it's not me that's trying to stop it, if you really surrender, you will let it go. But our problem is we say we surrender, and the moment that things get bad, we try to take control. And put that next slide up that I gave you. The surrendered life consists of two main things. The surrendered life consists of two main things. How many are getting something this morning? True biblical surrender consists of two main things. One, letting go of control. That was a typo there. Letting God of control. What? Letting go. Did you write letting go? Letting go of control. Say letting go of control. Listen, and the second biblical aspect of surrender is blind trust. Let me explain. You have to have both of these realities to be called true biblical surrender. You just cannot have let go of God and not trust God, because that's half surrender. If you truly want to be fully surrendered, there's two main aspects that have to be consistent in your life. Number one, you have to let go of control. Woo. Let go of control of why this is happening to me. What's wrong with my brain? What's wrong with my children? Why do I still live in this house after all these years? I'm saying this for all of us, not just me. Why do I not have a job? You have to let go of control. Now watch this. We have to have both, because if we only have one or the other, we'll be incomplete. For instance, if we let go of control, but we do not trust God, we'll be fearful all the time. I'm going to say that again. Do you hear what I just said? If we let go of control, okay, you got control, but we still not trusting God, we'll be afraid the whole time. Let me give you an example. The first couple of days, we said, we're going to let go. But just because you let go doesn't mean you still trust God. The key to knowing that you have let go and trusted God, when there's no fear in the letting go and the trusting. My wife would wake up shortly after this, for 2 or 3 days, she would wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, not getting sleep, and just stare at me. That's not trusting God. And I'm going to be transparent. There'll be times I'll be like, I don't want to go to sleep today. You understand? See, what I'm trying to tell you is that's not the way to live life. Oh, I love what Esther said. If I perish, I perish. That's so liberating. When you really get to a point of this, I don't care what happened. Behold, your maidservant or your maidservant. Do to me whatever is in your heart to do. That's so liberating. And you get to a place where you're surrendered. You surrendered, but you don't trust. Then you'll be afraid all the time. You'll be afraid all the time. But on the flip side, if we trust God, watch this, but we don't let go of control, we'll always be debating on the why and the how. Do you hear what I just said? I'm going to say that again. If we let go of control, but do not trust God, we will be afraid of the next time things can happen. If we reverse it, and if we trust God, but we don't relinquish control, we will be debating with God about how and why and what happened, instead of asking the Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell me? Believe me, the message is clear to me. And here's the mystery. I'm going to be transparent even more. I still don't have all the answers, but that doesn't stop me from surrendering. I rather surrender and be at peace and not know what's going to happen than to not surrender and never be at peace and still not know what's going to happen. You have to know the secret of a surrendered life. Brings peace, no striving. Oh, this is so good. Why would you need trust and faith if everything is looking right for you? Why would you need trust? You don't need trust. The Spirit of the Lord wants to be to have this reality. So not only does surrender is a key to peace and from anxiety, so you won't have to be obedient to the Lord to have to answer the why and the how, but true surrender brings results. I want you to turn to Luke, just Luke chapter 5, just a couple chapters down. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Tito, could you come in the worship team? Could you come? I have about 15 minutes. So I'll try to honor this. I've never preached a message like this, but I want to release this reality. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Say surrender brings results. Now I want to share this with you because a lot of you know now the truth of surrendering, but what I'm telling you, surrendering without knowing the why and the how actually brings results from God. God actually brings results because of your surrender. The Bible says that there was fishermen that were there, and again, it went against the knowledge of what was happening. I want to share something with you. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Now I want you to see this principle here. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now watch this. We always look at this from an evangelistical standpoint. That's great. But I want to look at you from another standpoint. But Simon answered and said, watch this. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my nets. And look at the next verse. And when they had done this, and the thing that didn't make sense to them, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their, whoa, and their net was breaking. What am I trying to tell you? Look at me. Look at me. They, first of all, a couple of facts about this story. They toiled all night. That was not fake. That was, they were actually doing something. By the way, they were not novices. They were professional fishermen. Listen to what I'm about to say. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to catch fish. They knew all the right things to do, yet they weren't catching anything. I want to just pause and say this. Your knowledge and my knowledge can be a stumbling block from doing something that God tells us to do. It wasn't like these guys were like, no. They've been in the fishing business for years. They knew what they were doing much more than anybody here. And they knew the right places to fish. They knew where to put it. They knew what type of bait. And they caught nothing. So in the natural, it doesn't make sense to surrender to what God was trying to tell them. So the second point is, okay, they told all night. That was true. Then they said they caught nothing. That was not a rebellious statement. That was not, I'm not going to do it. I have not caught anything. How many of you have tithed and you've done this and you've preached and you've done this and yet still something happens to you? Or you've ministered or you're believing God for a breakthrough and it still hasn't come. So what they were saying was not rebellious. It was like, look, Jesus, the facts are, sometimes the facts in front of you will stop you from surrendering to God. The facts are, we've done everything you told us. We've done this, we're professionals, we caught nothing, and we've told all night. Watch this, here's the surrender part. We always look at this from an evangelistical standpoint. But this is the moment where a switch went on. I understand, Jesus, we're professional, nothing happens, do it 2012 language. I've been doing this over and over again, Jesus. I've been coming to church and my child still doesn't serve the Lord. I've been doing everything you're telling me, oh. I've been coming to the prayer room and I've been getting involved and my marriage is still messed up. I've been doing all the stuff that the Lord tells me to. Jesus, I've caught nothing. My family has nothing. I've done everything that you said. But Peter said, nevertheless, even though all that's true, I've been here all day. I've been doing the right things. All the facts before me saying that it is not going to happen and it's ludicrous. But according to your word, just like Mary, nevertheless, I'll do it one more time. And the Bible says that the nevertheless in them, whew, was the cause for them to be surrender, to be obedient to God. Notice that Luke did not describe the disciples as saying, wait a minute, until you tell me why I have not caught all these fish all this time, and I've been in this, and until you explain to me why is there something wrong with the water? Is there something wrong with me? That's what I've been thinking. Is there something wrong with me? Is there, am I doing anything wrong? Do I have any open doors, Jesus? Nevertheless, that's surrender right there. That nevertheless is surrender right there. That moment, nevertheless, is surrender. They should have called it surrender. I'll do it. He said, nevertheless, at the moment he said, nevertheless, watch this. He canceled every opportunity to strive, to do it in his own work, to do it in his own power. He said, all right, I realize I've done everything and it's not getting better. I've checked the doctors and everything's all right. I've been quoting scriptures. I've been blowing on myself. I've been fasting and still nothing changes. Nevertheless, we all have to have a nevertheless in our spirit. And the Bible says that he caught a great fish. If you could play something, Tito, please. He caught great number of fish that the Bible says it was so much that the boats began to sink. What is the fruit of surrender? The fruit of surrender is no worry, no fear, no striving. No worry, no fear, no striving. Oh, I'm going to save the best for last year. Do you know that in the law, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel's day, there were tunics that were made for the priest, and there was one that was made of linen, and it was all that for the Levites to come in the inner court to be able to minister, and they had one purpose only. The ones that were about to minister to God in the inner court, they had a special fabric made out of linen that were the priest, the sons of Zadok, and they would put it over underneath it, and it served one purpose. Are you ready? So that the priest won't sweat. I'm going to show you in scripture. The purpose of this linen was for one thing. No sweat. No striving. No trying to make it happen. When you minister to the Lord, he doesn't want you to sweat. Sweat is symbolic of sin and disobedience and striving and trying to do it in your own work. And you can't minister to the Lord when you're trying to do things in your own strength and your own work. And he said, I'm going to give you a linen so that when you enter the inner court, you won't sweat. Oh, somebody say, don't sweat it. You can't sweat it anymore. Don't sweat your finances. Don't sweat your marriage. Don't sweat your health. Don't sweat it. Just surrender. Look at Ezekiel real quick. Look at Ezekiel, and then we're going to close. Look at Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, oh, he's ministering right now. Ezekiel 44, put it up there, verse 17. Ezekiel 44, verse 17. And it shall be, whether they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on the linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister. While they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house of Hashem. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. that's talking about surrender. It's talking about when you surrender as priests and kings. We're priests now and kings unto our God. And the Lord wants to give us a revelation that as priests and as king, He doesn't want us to sweat anymore. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Do you really surrender all? All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. No more sweating, no more striving, just surrender. I believe if that linen had a name, it would be called the surrendered linen. Priest, here's your linen. You're not going to sweat. This linen is called surrender. When you put this, you're not going to sweat. Oh, yeah. When you truly surrender, you will relieve yourself from peace. I mean, from anxiety. From what if it happens again? Or what if it doesn't happen again? What if I'm still tithing and I'm still broke and I'm still doing this and I gotta move out of my apartment, I gotta move out of my house? No sweat! And because God loves you so much, I'm gonna close with this. And because God loves you so much, because you don't surrender, sometimes He'll allow the storm to come into your life, so that eventually you will buckle the knee and allow yourself to surrender. He loves you so much, you can't even backslide in peace. You can't even be rebellious in peace. He will chase you. You know who did this? Jonah. The word of the Lord. Oh, Shaka. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He said, preach to Nineveh. And he did not want to surrender to that word. And he said, no, I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to preach to that uncircumcised people of Nineveh. They don't deserve the gospel. They don't deserve it. Jonah, I said, preach to Nineveh. I will not do it. I will not surrender. And you know, because of His love, He said, I love you so much that I'm going to make you surrender. I'm going to cause a storm to hit you so hard that you realize my way is the only way. And He comes, and I did a study of this. He was so hard-headed like many of us, that when Jonah, the Bible says he was 3 days in the fish before he cried out. That's how hard knuckleheaded he was. I mean, all you had to do was, to me, if you wanted to get me attention, God, the first sign of it, no, and I'll preach. Okay, I'll preach. I mean, the first sign, the way I would have been, I get it. Jonah was so strong-willed, didn't want to surrender. He goes, I am not surrendering. Stomach juices are all. Not going to do it. Second day. Still in the belly, not crying out. That's how hard-headed he was. Some of us, we want our way so much that we, in the name of righteousness, we're actually doing something the wrong way. Jonah was actually thinking that he was doing the right thing. No, I'm not going to preach to them. They're uncircumcised. You don't know my nature, Jonah. I know they're uncircumcised. I know they're sinners, but I want to love them. Third day, finally he's all getting sucked into the stomach now. He's like, whoa, okay, God, I get it. I surrender to your will. After he surrendered, the fish gave up Jonah. And Jonah, with a mild heart, trust me, came to Nineveh and preached, and that whole city got turned around because he surrendered to the living God. Today, it's time for us to let go of asking why and asking what is this happening to me? Why am I still going through this? Why is my children this way? Why do I have my health this way? God says, all to you, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, come on, lift up your hands. Stand up to your feet right now. It's time to surrender our marriage. It's time to surrender our calling. It's time to surrender our giftings. It's time. And don't ask how. Don't ask why. That is the enemy to surrender. Say like Mary, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Come on, say that. If you're a man, say the maidservant. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Do unto me according to your word. That means trials are going to come. That means darkness may come. But God says, today, I want you to surrender again your family. I want you again to surrender your finances to some of you. I want you again to surrender your calling. I want you again to surrender your health. It may take a long time, but let me tell you, there's a nevertheless in your spirit. There's a nevertheless in your spirit. Nevertheless, 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 nevertheless. Oh, Rabba Basa.